Welcome to the Campus Ministry Heritage and History podcast series from Dominican University of California. This podcast series has been organized by Sister Mary Sower and is made possible through the joint effort of Campus Ministry, the Communication and Media Studies Department, and Penguin Radio.
So welcome everyone. I'm Sister Mary, the Director of Campus Ministry. Father Edward Skillebeck, a Dominican theologian from Belgium who lived from 1914 to 2009, wrote that the story of Dominicans can only be kept alive by live Dominicans. And we at Campus Ministry also believe in the gift of storytelling. And so today we come to tell our story.
Thank you to each of you for indulging me by listening to what I'm sharing today and for giving up your lunch to be here. How did I get here? My story starts in Sacramento, California in the early 1960s. I was born into a family that for whom family was everything. For the first 15 years of my life, I grew up just 10 houses down the street from my grandmother and three unmarried aunts. They were more than my tías, they were three additional mothers. You can ask my wife and in-laws who married into a family with four mothers-in-law. I'm sure they have some stories to tell. To say that our lives are intertwined would be shortchanging how connected we really are. I'm the oldest of five. One of my sisters passed away as an infant. My siblings and mom, along with two of those tías, still live in Sacramento today. Our lives were humble, but we had everything that we needed. Both of my parents worked full-time, my dad during the day, and my mom in the evenings during my early childhood. I learned so much by just watching them, how they shared the responsibility for raising me and my siblings. The care and love were evident. It may not have been verbalized, but it was evident. To see my masculine Latino father recognize that responsibilities were not assigned by gender, but rather by the fact that you do what needs to be done because we are family, and that is what family does, at least our family does. Neither of my parents went to college, and my dad dropped out of high school after his sophomore year. They measured their success through a very different lens than we do today. They saw education as a step up and a path to a better life. They sacrificed to send us to private schools because they believed that was the best environment for us to thrive in. They involved themselves in our education by volunteering for everything and anything to role model for us that they were there for us and were there by our sides on this journey. For first through eighth grades, I went to our local parochial school, which was incredibly diverse in ethnicity and race, in religion, in socioeconomic strata. We were lucky that for most part, everyone got along. We fit in. We were family. My home and school were near Sacramento High School, which during this time was having significant racial tensions. I share this to give context of time and place. There's an alley that runs behind our house, and I can vividly recall kids from Sac High asking my mom if they could hide in our backyard until things calmed down. This happened on several occasions as the situation got out of hand at the high school. It was hard to believe as a child that our schools were so close, but at the same time, they seemed like they were miles apart. I went on to an all-male private high school across town in a very different neighborhood. It was an area of privilege. Again, I'm lucky to say that I was welcome and fit in, even though I could count the students of color in my class on one hand. Many of my best friends today are from this part of my life. Needless to say, they are family. This belief that education is important was apparent family-wide, not just in my part of the family. My generation of cousins was the first to pursue higher education as a group, where more than 50% of us took this path. There are lawyers, judges, architects, teachers, business owners, medical professionals, and engineers. To say that my generation took the bull by the horns is an understatement. I went on to St. Mary's College, where I received a BA in psychology and an MA in counseling. While I was an undergrad, I continued to play sports as a member of the rugby team. a sport that I knew nothing about until I was in college. It was out of my comfort zone, but also a team rich in tradition. I was involved in student government. I worked for the Housing and Residence Life Office. I stayed on campus during the summers to work. Flashback to my family in Sacramento. This was a big deal. So to make up for that, I went home weekly to see them during the summers. When I started school, I thought I wanted to work as a juvenile probation officer. That was my plan. I'd also always loved food and the ceremony of tradition that it represents. I was exposed to other cultures and cuisines, and my plan began to shift. I started to think that maybe I wanted to go into the food and wine industry. I had cooked to help at my family when I was growing up, learning from my dad and one of my tias. I lived in the same set with the same set of roommates in college for 3 years, and I cooked for them. We ate family style, we shopped together, we cleaned our apartment together. We were family. I worked in a few restaurants in high school and college, and I loved the energy and how food brought people together. It was a good fit, and I was good at it. It's also where I felt the most creative. I then thought perhaps that I would go to culinary school after college. I wasn't sure how I would afford that adventure. I also knew that I couldn't ask my family. My brother was still in college, and I had two sisters who were not far behind. But that is where I thought I was headed. Then during the fall of my senior year, the dean of students approached me about a position in student life. The opportunity seemed to come totally out of left field and nothing that I had planned for or expected. I worked in student activities, in residence life, and served as a residence director. I did this for about 2 years when I learned of an opportunity at Dominican College in San Rafael. I had a neighbor from Sacramento who attended Dominican in the mid-60s. This was a big deal in my neighborhood. I also had a friend from high school who went to Dominican who I visited on several occasions when we were students. So I knew where it was, as well as a little bit about what its students were like. But that was about it. I applied and was offered the position as Director of Housing and Student Activities. I was fortunate and honored to have been one of John Kennedy's first hires. I lived in Pennefort in P1. My office was just down the hall. It actually may have been the world's shortest commute for someone who actually left home to go to work. I was basically a kid myself, responsible for the residence halls and activities for students who were not much younger than I was at the time. I supervised 3 residence directors, but as I looked back upon it, they may have actually supervised me. One was Sister Carol Quinn, a longtime science faculty member. One was a graduate student who was attending the San Francisco Theological Seminary, who had done her undergraduate work at Duke. And one was a credential student who was also a recent college graduate herself. The latter became my wife, who I just celebrated 30 years of marriage with this past summer. We had several Dominican sisters in residence at the time, including Sister Samuel Conlon, a former college president, and Sister Aquinas Nimitz, who later served as interim president of Dominican. When I started here, I was out of my comfort zone, but was immediately welcomed by everyone. We became family. The college was smaller then, but rest assured, it was the same Dominican that you know, love, and appreciate today, warts and all. It was a special place then, just as it is now. After serving in that role for about a year and a half, I was offered another position back at St. Mary's as the assistant director of housing and as a resident director. I worked at St. Mary's in a number of student life positions, finishing as the director of student activities and leadership programs. I worked in housing, residential education, events and conferences. I supervised student government, media, the union, new student and family orientation, the multicultural center, and student diversity groups. I had too many role models and mentors and colleagues to single out anyone, but rest assured, we are family. Ann and I married and lived in the residence halls as resident directors for 3 years as a couple. It was a great experience. We learned about each other. We learned about how we fit in the world. We learned about what our passions were. And we shared that with 48 college freshman women. We eventually bought a home in San Rafael and moved to where Ann grew up. We moved to be near her family. Anne has taught high school in Marin for almost 30 years. We have two wonderful children, Ian living in New York and works in finance. Emma is a junior in college in Southern California. I strive to be involved in my community, serving where I can make a difference. I am humbled by the fact that I had an opportunity to coach over 50 youth sports teams and have an impact on the lives of those children with whom I was associated. I've served on boards, and I mentor others whenever I can pay it forward. In late spring of 2004, I was approached by a search firm that was looking to fill the Director of Alumni and Annual Giving position at Dominican. I had chaired the advancement committee of my children's elementary school, but that was the extent of my friend and fundraising work in any formal setting. But it was a chance to challenge myself, try something new, and to shorten my commute to spend more time with my family. I jumped at the opportunity. I started my second chapter at Dominican in October of 2004. When I pulled up to campus that day, I parked on Acacia across from Guzman. Sister Aquinas was tending some flowers near the grotto on the sister's property. I had seen Sister Aquinas only a few times when I had been at St. Mary's. You could definitely count them on one hand. She looked up and greeted me with, "Welcome home, Mark. It's good to have you back." I felt like I'd never been away. My wife, who I met here, has her teaching credential from Dominican, and my mother-in-law is a member of the class of 1963. She has an army of friends from her time here, many of whom I've gotten to know. These connections grounded me and provided me an immediate connection. The work that I do now is about relationships, so I wanted to learn as much as I could about the people. Who are they? And the culture, what connected them? I realized at some point that this was really at the root of what I've been doing my entire career, serving others and connecting them. That, along with several other key components, are at the core of what work and alumni relations is all about. We identify people, we recognize and see them. We connect people to each other and to Dominican. We bond with them through genuine, respectful relationships, and we validate them. We engage them through active participation, and we find ways to empower and inspire them. These actions have been role models for me my whole life by my parents and family, by teachers and coaches, by friends, by colleagues, and mentors. I continue to be amazed at the intersections of my life, most of which on the surface seem to be by chance. But I recognize now in reality they are much less random than they appear. I now believe that I have subconsciously sought them out. The repetition has made it part of my core. This fits within my comfort zone. One such repetitive occurrence is the importance that tradition holds for me. I appreciate the connection of what has come before and that we typically pass along these traditions organically and informally. It is through that repetition that it becomes part of who we are. If you haven't already guessed, family for me is incredibly important and is defined by more than blood and biology. Actually, blood has very little to do with it for me. Family for me is who I choose to have significant and meaningful roles in my life. Dominican is steeped in tradition and history. And for me to be allowed to share that with you is an amazing gift. I hope that I'm a good and gracious steward of what we share, be it Shield Day, Walking the Fire Road, stories about Blue Boy, hanging out with Willie, or even going to Hippie Hill and riding the rope swing. It is my honor to keep our alumni informed, connected, and engaged. I strive to be inclusive and collaborative, but most importantly, I want my actions to speak for themselves. They should be louder than anything that I have to say. I would rather inspire as a role model than by any declaration that I could offer. One thing that I have learned after working in private higher education for over 35 years is that birds of a feather flock together. Places like Dominican and St. Mary's definitely have their brand. The people who are attracted to these schools are more alike than even they know. It is what makes these places special. There is truth in the proclamation that you can tell that someone went to a particular school by how they carry themselves in the world. When you pay attention to the similarities, it becomes obvious. Those traits are what bond and unite us. I believe that an alumna from the class of 1947 has more in common with today's Dominican student than they have differences. The upcoming Torch magazine will show that in a piece that brought alumni from different decades along with a current student to share their experiences. At our core, we are birds of a feather. I am blessed to have been invited into the Penguin family. We really are one great big Penguin rookery. Dominicans' core values, the ideals, mirror my own. Perhaps it is serendipitous that I'm here today, but I choose to believe that I was meant to be here today. Thank you for listening, and to my mentors and family for supporting me along this crazy ride. Thank you.